It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's a Finish Strong Friday. And we were able to get my buddy Andrew Brandt fresh off going out to the West Coast for like a seminar or vacation or something. Still wanted to get his insight on Khalil Mack versus Aaron Donald, the Stephon Diggs deal, Stephen Jones anthem stuff. So we're going to finish strong with our guy, Andrew Brandt, the longtime Packers executive. We are presented, as always, by SeatGeek. I just got an email from someone today who's from up in Pine Grove, where I used to live. Took advantage of the SeatGeek app on the phone, used the code Tucker to get $20 off. So I love it. Love when you guys get the benefit of some of our sponsors. I love those of you that spread the word as well via social media. It's as easy as retweeting at Ross Tucker NFL or at RTF Podcast when we post the show, or liking it on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It is that easy. That easy. The spread the word winner, Hunter Loden. He liked the feast on Facebook, the Tears of Evan. We're started the Tears of Evan on the Fantasy Feast podcast. He liked it. So, Hunter, you're the winner. Email me, ross@rostucker.com. Let me know what you want. I'll hook you up with a little something-something. Sponsor confirmation email winner, Sean, I don't know, how D-O-W-I-E. What do you think that is, Bri? D-O-W-I-E. Dowie?
Dowie? Dowie.
Dowie. Sean Dowie, he's an animal, took advantage of Dollar Shave Club deal. He got the Squad app, Squad QL and BetQL apps on his phone. He's not messing around. So, Sean, you're the winner. Let me know. You want a signed card, signed picture. I've got a signed pass. I could sign a pass from Eagles training camp for you. I got my Eagles training camp pass. I got a lot of stuff from the National Fantasy Football Convention, the podcast conference. I got a bunch of cool memorabilia here that you can definitely get if you'd like. Just let me know. Speaking of letting you know, I'm about to let you know it's big show time.
The Big Show.
Andrew, a lot to get to, as always, here. Let's dive right into it with some of the contract stuff. I guess we'll start with Roquan Smith. Still holding out, the only guy left, and now we're to the point, Andrew, where it feels like both sides are kind of negotiating, leaking in the media. The Bears leaked to the Tribune that it's not really about the helmet rule, and then his agent leaks to Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, that no, it's not the helmet rule, but it's still on-field stuff, on-field behavior, that if it's a late hit or something that gets him suspended on the field, he could still potentially forfeit his guarantees. What is going on here?
Yeah, good day, Ross. As we talk about all the time, the NFL CBA mandates exactly what these guys are paid. So from pick number one to pick number 256, we know what they're going to make the moment they're drafted. What we don't know is what I call the backside of the contract looks like. And that's where teams are imposing their will on this language. They're putting in language on these guarantees that really mitigates all their risk on the guarantee. We talk about offsets where if they're cut, they get financial relief if they're signed by another team. Every team's getting that. They're forging it. They're making agents and players sign it. And then we talk about mitigation of risk if they get in trouble. Certainly, all teams are now doing it for off-field, for suspensions due to steroids, for suspensions due to conduct. So if you have a $30 million guarantee, you get suspended, you lose that guarantee. You're still under contract, but you have to earn it like everyone else. So now we talk about language with on-field conduct, and that's what's going on with Roquan Smith, the lone remaining unsigned player of 256 draft pick. And the Bears are sticking to their guns like, we are going to impose this. We are going to say, whatever it is you do on the field that causes suspension, and maybe they've eliminated the helmet rule part of it, so we're going to mitigate that risk. And at the end of the day, you know, I know, everyone listening knows, Smith's going to take that deal because this is the leverage equation with players and teams. The teams have all the leverage, especially with rookies. If you're going to get a fully guaranteed contract, they're going to come at you with all this mitigation of their risk. And that's what's going on. Now, CAA represents Smith. They represented Sam Darnold. They got some concessions from the Jets for Darnold to give up some stuff and take all their language. Maybe what comes out of this is concessions that Smith gets his money early or things like that. But understand what the agents are doing. They're trying to prove their worth because the contract's pretty much set, and here they go. But as I keep saying, good luck with that. It's always going to be in the favor of the team with these things.
Andrew, did you ever negotiate through the media? Did you ever leak stuff to the media for your benefit?
Only a little bit when I saw the numbers just get out of whack. You know, it's fine for agents to puff the numbers. I get it. That's part of the game that agents and teams play. But when you talk about things that just would go crazy, about numbers beyond even with the player making all their incentives, or numbers beyond what's realistic with the signing bonus, sometimes I would push back against that, but very rare.
Some of the other stuff going on, we got to talk about what's going on in Minnesota. They got Stephon Diggs under contract, Andrew. So here we are now. There were so many concerns about Kirk Cousins' deal and what's going to happen, yet the Vikings just keep picking them off. Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, you know, Stephon Diggs, Eric Kendricks. I mean, there's only one guy, really core player left that they have to get under contract still, and that's Anthony Barr. It doesn't appear to this point as if, you know, the Kirk Cousins contract is really hurting them all that much.
No, well, I always have said that's a cop-out by teams and sometimes the media, that teams that have 25-plus million-dollar quarterbacks can't build a team around them. Of course they can, because at least half your team is on rookie contracts, which are very cheap, and the highest people make on rookie contracts beyond the first round is like $1 million in salary. So, you know, what we're talking about is getting players under contract early. It's something I did in Green Bay. It's something Rob Brzezinski, who was already doing contracts when I got to Green Bay in 1999 and is still doing them for the Minnesota Vikings. It's obviously a plan. It's a strategy. It's a philosophy. They go to Diggs or Hunter early, and they're going to get a discount compared to what they could get in free agency. And that's been their MO in Minnesota, Green Bay. So many other teams take this strategy, Philadelphia, and it pays off. So, you know, the risk, of course, Ross, is that 2-3 years down the road, Diggs is going to look around and say, wow, I'm really underpaid, a la Julio Jones. But, you know, that's a risk team's going to have to take to try to get guys signed early.
Let's talk about two differing holdout situations, Khalil Mack and the Raiders, Aaron Donald and the Rams. So evidently, Khalil Mack and the Raiders have not spoken since February, or at least there's been no contract negotiations since February. Gruden hasn't spoken to Khalil Mack since, albeit briefly, in January. Meanwhile, it sounds like Aaron Donald and the Rams reps are still talking. Kevin Demoff, their COO, said, it's cordial. We just disagree as to his value right now. Two very, very different situations, it would seem there, Andrew, but ultimately, both players are still not signed.
No. Let me talk about Donald first, because I think that's the one we've talked about. It's been going on for 2 years, and people are kind of bashing the Rams for getting Cooks done and getting Gurley done. They're not ignoring Aaron Donald. They're negotiating. They negotiated last year. They're negotiating this year. I mean, I'm not there, but I think it's all about Ndamukong Suh, who's ironically a teammate, who got this incredible deal with the Dolphins, still the best deal ever on a defensive player. And Donald wants that or more, and I'm sure they're saying, well, that was a free agent. If you want to get to free agency, then you can get that deal. You can't now. So I'm kind of putting myself into that. I see why that's not getting done. I bet Khalil Mack is very frustrated because it's not like Aaron Donald. They're not even talking. And the Raiders are saying, we're just not ready. And Khalil Mack is the most frustrating part of a holdout is when the team doesn't even engage. That's got to be tough tough for Khalil Mack. And again, I get back to it. You and I and everyone listening knows at some point he's going to come in. And the Raiders know
that.
Why
would you ever, from the team standpoint, not engage at all? Like, I mean, if you – he's your best player. Like, even if you're not changing your position as to the offer, to not engage at all and to really anger your best – like, wouldn't you at least, like, appease him and still have talks but just say, hey, here's where we are with this? It's just weird.
Well, again, you talked about through the media. I find it hard to believe they haven't talked since February. Because, first of all, that would mean that Khalil Mack's agent has not talked to them. And that would be kind of negligent on his part. Even if he gets hung up on or they don't return his calls, I doubt that. You know, I just doubt that. Or he could fly out to Oakland. I mean, it just seems to me that I don't believe it. Now, have they had offers? Maybe not, that are realistic. But I just think it's hard to believe they haven't talked.
A couple other situations I want to get your thoughts on, Andrew. For sure, we haven't talked about this. Stephen Jones, you know, was asked about the Cowboys anthem policy and, you know, whether or not it's going to be a rule that the players stand for the national anthem rather than stay in the locker room. And he said, if they want to be a Cowboy, yes. And my immediate reaction was, well, what are they going to do if Tyron Smith, who's under contract below market for 6 more years, or Dak Prescott or Zeke Elliott, you know, protest during the anthem or stays in the locker room or whatever? I mean, that it seems like it's a check that they can't really cash. And I almost wonder if you're an agent, you know, if you test that, hey, they said publicly, if you want to be a Cowboy, you got to do these things. Maybe you should do them and try to get released, which I doubt would happen. I'm just making a point.
Yeah. It happened again last year, the same thing when Jerry Jones said that in the middle of the season. And I think on this show, you and I speculated, well, what if Dak Prescott decides he's going to kneel? Are they going to bench him? I mean, yeah, all these things come up where the Cowboys, we talked years about Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones suing Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones wanting power back with the owners and not with the commissioner. And that's really what's going on here, it seems like, because, you know, my translation is, you guys deal with whatever policy you're going to deal with the union. I'm giving the Cowboys our policy. And you know what? We haven't seen any sign of dissonance from players on that, from the Cowboys. Every single one of them, Ezekiel Elliott on down, is, yep, we're going to toe the line here. So we can call it whatever it is, but policy schmolicy with the Cowboys. It's like they're doing their own thing. And if Roger Goodell wants to impose on Jerry Jones, I'm sure he'll get quite some choice words if he tries to do that.
Finally, Andrew, you know, it's college football, but I still want to get your reaction, your thoughts on the Urban Meyer situation, because it's really just disappointing, I guess, and what you think of what's happened so far and what you expect to happen. I'm sure you're following it.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of disclosure, the knowledge of something going on in the staff, I think we talk about this all the time with Rick Pitino, now with Urban Meyer, with Larry Brown, the basketball coach, with Jim Boeheim. I just think, you know, it is part of the reason these guys make $8 million a year. They are assumed to know, and they can say they don't, and they can say it all happens below them, but this is where we are in sports. If you're going to achieve that mantle of head coach of a major program, or I guess any program, you're assumed to know, and maybe 10 years ago that wasn't an issue, maybe 5 years ago, but nothing happens in a vacuum, and we're in a time and place where knowledge of these kind of things is detrimental to your career in a big way. So I don't know what's going to happen to Ohio State. You know my saying, there will be lawyers. I'm sure they're all talking about what would happen if Meyer is gone, how would it be structured for him to stay. Now it's my world. It's everyone's lawyering up. and everyone's trying to come out with a resolution that they can live with.
Andrew, always appreciate the time. Hope you had a great time out west, and we always find a way to get your insight at some point during the week, even if it's a Friday. Looking forward to next week, but thanks for coming on a Friday edition.
Yeah, and quickly, everyone listen to the Business Sports Podcast. Great interview this week with Anquan Boldin about everything Players Coalition is doing. He's an impressive guy on the podcast. Anquan Boldin's on this week.
That's right. Yeah, you had that earlier in the week. I almost forgot. That was huge, Andrew. That was awesome. I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm out of the rhythm here with you on a Friday rather than a Wednesday, but excellent, excellent work there. I encourage everybody to listen to that. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thanks, Ross.
Andrew, always on top of the business of sports. His podcast is amazing. Speaking of business, the right hire can make a huge impact on your business. That's why it's so important to find the right person. Job boards, well, they're tough. You know where you can find the right person to help grow your business? LinkedIn. That's where I found one of my employees for Go Big Recruiting, and she was awesome. Very, very helpful. It's the world's largest professional network. People go to LinkedIn every day. I mean, 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. So LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on more of who they really are. It's your way to get seen by the right people. You need to reach them on LinkedIn. A lot of people aren't on job boards. A lot of people are on LinkedIn. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tucker and you can get $50 off your first job post. So if you're in HR, you know somebody who is, you get a small, medium-sized business. Look, it was huge for me to be able to get one of my Go Big Recruiting employees from LinkedIn. You can do the same. That's LinkedIn.com/Tucker to get $50 off your first job post. Again, LinkedIn.com/Tucker. Terms and conditions apply.
Tuck Takes.
Well, Ross, we had a game last night after 179 days since the Super Bowl. It was an actual football game. They had uniforms. They kept score and everything. Ravens and Bears. What did you think?
Did you see that, Bri, or did you do the math?
I saw that.
Okay. I thought maybe for once you kind of went the extra mile for the podcast to add some insight or to make a good comment. But no, you just read it somewhere.
Well, I did go the extra mile. I did go the extra mile. I mentioned it.
Why?
Because I mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's – you got short miles, bro. You got short miles.
I didn't say it was long. I didn't say it was the extra mile. It was still an extra mile.
So here's what you need to know.
5,280 feet.
There you go.
All right.
Wow, Bright. Now you're really providing value. How many yards?
Just divide that by three.
Yeah, I know that, Bri.
I don't know.
Can you do it?
Not off the top of my head.
I can. It's 1,760 yards.
Yeah, I knew that. I did know that.
And I definitely did not just pick up my phone and do 5,280 divided by three.
Definitely. All right, anyway, we had a game last night. Nobody wants to hear this.
Yes, we did have a game. I thought RG3 looked pretty good. I thought Chase Daniel looked pretty bad. Chase Daniel's made $25 million. He's thrown 83 maybe in the NFL. Quarterbacks, man. I freaking hate him. I hate him. I mean, and I don't use that word, but $24 million to throw 83 or 88 passes. And he did not play well. When has he played well? It feels like it's been a while since he's played well, and he keeps getting these awesome contracts. It's kind of bizarre, but I thought for a year off, the RG3 looked pretty good. Lamar Jackson, up and down, right? We saw the speed. We saw the arm at times, but he also was taking sacks that aren't good. He's got to learn to get rid of the ball through a bad interception. Let's put it this way. He's not pushing Joe Flacco for the job, right? I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's not pushing Joe Flacco for the job at this point. The star of the game was Kamale Correa for the Ravens. The linebacker, I think he was a Boise State kid a couple years ago, second round pick. He had six tackles, three sacks, a forced fumble, an interception. He even got one of those helmet penalties at the end. I mean, he basically had like the best preseason game ever. Really, really impressive. What was not impressive, Breshad Perriman for the Ravens dropped a sure pass from RG3 that was picked off. Brutal. I thought Orlando Brown Jr., the rookie right tackle for the Ravens, looked pretty good. I thought that was a really good start for him. He's got a real chance there. And then probably the biggest thing was just the helmet rule, Bri. And I told you guys on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, that they're going to call it a lot in the preseason. I don't think we'll see it as much during the regular season. And that's kind of exactly where we might be at this point. Because you look and, I mean, I thought the first two were fine. The one on Owosu, the one on Correa. Those guys, I mean, Owosu, Correa, neither one of them needed to lead with their helmet like they did in those situations. So I thought those should have been penalized. But then the third one on the Orr kid for Chicago, number 46, when Lamar Jackson threw the ball in the end zone, it is a terrible call. Terrible. And you ruin it when you make a call like that. When you make a call like that, you really ruin the spirit of the rule because then people don't even know what to do. If you throw a flag when someone does it legally, then the whole thing gets out of whack. And the last one I didn't think was a penalty either on Bennett Jackson. So that's my thoughts on last night's game. Obviously, the flag rule or the helmet rule will be something to keep an eye on moving forward, Bri.
Ducks takes.
All right, let's get to some injuries. Packers linebacker Jake Ryan done for the year, torn ACL. Patriots released Jordan Matthews after he tore his hamstring. Titans safety Jonathan Cyprian tore his ACL as well. And Colts guard Jack Muhort retires after 4 years, and that's a result of bad knees.
He wasn't really able to play a whole lot the last couple of years with those knees, and it must have really been bothering him in training camp. That's kind of scary. You know, he's only 26 years old. And have to retire because of that. I think he absolutely did the right thing. You know, he's put some money away, and if it's bothering him that much, they're not going to get better over the rest of his life. He needs to lose weight as much as he can, as soon as he can, because that's not a good sign. Not good for the Titans with Cyprian. That's why they've got guys like Kenny Vaccaro, Eric Reed, Mike Mitchell all coming in to work out. I expect them probably to sign one of them. Jordan Matthews will probably catch on somewhere else after his hamstring heals. The Patriots will have to give him an injury settlement for the weeks that he's injured. And Jake Ryan's a big loss for the Packers. There aren't a lot of linebackers still available, and Mike Pettine was high on him.
Ducks takes.
Some transactions as well. Bucks extended general manager. Is it Jason Licht? Or light.
Light.
Light. By a year, Bengals release Brandon LaFell, Seahawks sign J.R. Sweezy, and the Pats signs wide receiver Eric Decker.
Let me ask you something. If your last name is spelled L-I-C-H-T, and you want to go by Light, why don't you just switch it? I mean, why don't you just switch the C to a G? That's had to have been an issue for him his whole life. People switched their names when they came over to the United States all the time. There's nothing preventing you from switching it now. Is there or is there? Am I wrong?
No.
Is it like illegal?
No, it's not illegal. The only way it's illegal is if you are doing it to try and capitalize on somebody else's name and try and claim to their estate. But if you just want to do it, you can do it.
How did you know that so quickly, Bri? Have you tried to do that?
I just know things, Ross.
Bri, that was scary. That was scary right there. No, it's not illegal unless you're trying to do it on purpose to capitalize somebody's estate.
No, meaning like if I wanted to change my last name to Sinatra, then all of a sudden tomorrow say, hey, I want to claim to some of Frank's money, then that's illegal. But otherwise, you can do it.
Yeah, well, he should switch it to L-I-G-H-T because it's just dumb to be L-I-C-H-T and go by Light. Literally nobody knows that's Light until somebody tells them. Which seems like it defeats the purpose of having a name. By the way, no idea why the Bucks extended him. I like Jason a lot personally, but he's on the hot seat. It makes no sense to me why you would extend him. Why? So that if they have a decent year, he doesn't go somewhere else? He's not going anywhere else. That's just pissing away money is what it is. Because they're probably not going to have a good year. He probably is going to get fired. And they probably just pissed away $2 million. I mean, I don't know why these organizations don't hire me to be the team president. LaFell evidently wanted to get released, which is kind of bizarre because it's only Tyler Boyd and John Ross, a couple of young guys behind him. He hasn't gotten picked up yet. That I'm surprised. He's played a lot for the Bengals the last couple of years. Sweezy had a great run when he was in Seattle. Hurt his back, went to Tampa, got big money. He's back. They like what he brought to the table when he was in Seattle. And Eric Decker, we'll see. He's kind of replacing Jordan Matthews. The Patriots want like a bigger-bodied guy who's capable of playing in the slot, especially the first four games with Edelman out.
Ducks takes.
All right, what are your thoughts on the O-line for the Cleveland Browns? They moved left guard Joel Bitonio to left tackle.
Well, it's really a shame that they find themselves in this predicament. And they had to have a pretty good idea that Joe Thomas was going to retire. So to not really do anything else in free agency or in the draft, I mean, they got Chris Hubbard to play right tackle. They got Austin Corbett. I think they thought maybe he could play left tackle. But they could have taken a potential left tackle at number 33 rather than Austin Corbett, who they've now moved to guard. So we'll see. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bitonio can hold it down and be a decent left tackle. But, I mean, you might be weakening two positions, right? He might not really be better than Sean Coleman at left tackle, and then you might be getting worse at left guard, which doesn't really help anybody.
Ducks takes.
And finally, I know we don't normally comment on college football very often. I know you asked Andrew about it earlier, but your thoughts on Urban Meyer?
Just disappointing. You know, I really like college sports. I love high school sports because of the purity. But even at the high school level, I'm kind of getting turned off a little bit by all the transfers, all of the recruiting. I mean among high schools, not from high school to college. College, there's also some level of purity. I like the game, but the coaching, the business of college sports, especially football and basketball, really leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know why, you know, to me this is like a loyalty deal, Brian. I'm sure, I don't know how you keep him on the staff, but or keep him as the head coach, but I think it's a loyalty thing. I think that Urban Meyer, on some level, was being loyal to this guy on his staff, and this was the grandson of Earl Bruce who hired Urban Meyer and, you know, gave him like his first big job. So I think it's one of those things. Loyalty is a weird thing in life because I think Urban Meyer feels like he was being loyal to Earl Bruce and the former wide receiver coach when in doing so, he ended up really being disloyal to the whole rest of the staff and the whole organization, the whole university, and the whole team. Because now he's going to be gone and he's failed them by being loyal to one person. Loyalty can at times be a double-edged sword.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
The email address is ross@rostucker.com. It's really simple, right? You take advantage of any of our sponsors over at rostucker.com on the sponsor page, or any of them that you hear me say here on the show, or that Brian tweets out at RTF Podcast. And then once you do that, you forward that to me. You can say, hey, Ross, I want to be in the Fantasy Feast season-long league with you and Evan. I want to kick your butt, okay? Or you can say, hey, Ross, here's my question. I want a free month of Tuckheads. And you'll get that. Or you can just say, hey, Ross, here's my question. You might win something signed from me. Up until September 1st, you'll get a free month of Tuckheads, which is amazing. And you get to ask me any question you want. And you're taking advantage of an awesome deal that Brian and I use the crap out of. I just got more Lantana hummus. We'll be telling you about them soon. Freaking delicious. Best ever. And they didn't just pay for me to say that right there. It's freaking delicious. It's the best ever. I'm telling you because it's the truth. What do you got, Brian?
All right, today's question comes from Mark in Winnipeg. He says, hey, Ross, my question is about finance and financial advice the players receive when they go pro. Do financial advisors and planners beat down the door like I imagine the agents do? Is the area dominated by a few big firms? Is it anything like the show Ballers? And I imagine it's different for the $15 million a year guys versus the journeyman guys. Maybe you can just chat about what your experience was, maybe some funny anecdotes or any other experiences you may have been privy to on the subject. Thanks.
So it's interesting, you know, I was such a bottom-of-the-barrel prospect, Mark, that I didn't really, you know, have any financial advisors come up to me when I was in college. And then I only had one agent, Joe Linta, and I signed with him, and he was actually a financial advisor. So he had me go with some guys at his firm, and I did that for a few years, and then I started interning at Merrill Lynch when I was in Buffalo with Kurt Schultz, the former Bills safety. And so at that point, you know, I established a real good relationship with Kurt. I was working there. So I switched at that point. And over the years, it's funny. I don't know that I've been really solicited hardcore, but anytime you meet a financial advisor and they know you're an NFL player, they definitely make that known. And that's their job. You know, that's a tough business when you're getting started. To try to get clients. That's tough. Really tough. I thought about that. That was kind of where I thought my business was going to be. I really thought long and hard about that. So I get it. So I'm not the typical example. Now, I have heard it used to be that just the agents really were talking to the guys when they were in college, and that there were a lot of guys that didn't even have financial advisors. Or, you know, maybe they went with somebody from their hometown, or they went with unscrupulous financial advisors. You know, I think agents used to hand guys off to certain guys. But then what happened is some of these guys were getting, you know, losing money from their financial advisors, and then they would blame the agent, and the agent would lose the agent business. So as a result, now you're in a situation where the agent's like, I'm not recommending them to anybody. I'm not doing that. And there are some, I think, that are still kind of full service. I can tell you, you know, one story is I was in a cold tub once with our star running back who had made a good chunk of money. And I asked him, you know, what he does with his investments. And he said, what are you talking about? Like stocks and bonds? I said, yeah. He said, don't know nothing about it. Don't know nothing about it. And he's a guy that was really, unfortunately, ended up being troubled off the field in a bunch of different ways. Ended up, I think, selling drugs. A lot of children out of wedlock. It's a shame because he was a nice guy, you know, in the locker room and to teammates and was a heck of a running back. But, yeah, you know, a lot of these guys are smart guys. They just don't have any experience with money and things like that. And I think that certainly hurts them. Good question. Really good question. That'll do it, by the way, for the week. That'll do it for a Finish Strong Friday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's a new week, which means we'll have a new sponsor confirmation winner, a new spread the word winner. Remember, if you just do a screenshot of you rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts, that counts. That counts as a sponsor confirmation. So you get the free month of Tuckheads. So you're making money right there, or saving money at least, as the case may be. And you're getting a chance to ask your question. It's the easiest thing ever. Or you can just buy something at Amazon through our link, amazon.com/shop/RossTuckerNFL, or the banner ad on the site. Other than that, have a great, great weekend, everybody. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.